Our Democratic colleagues will not accept the fact that President Trump won. He did. And when you win the White House, you have the ability to appoint people to the Supreme Court. The list was given to the public. Nobody was surprised by the list. I can't thank President Trump more than you listen to people who understand the law and understand the judges available for a Republican to pick. President Trump could not have chosen a better person. Mike Pence couldn't have chosen a better person. Paul Ryan, a county councilman, Republican in South Carolina, could not have chosen a better person. If you're filibustering him as a Democrat, that just means you don't accept the fact that President Trump won. And this is the end of the qualification standards to be on the Supreme Court. Hamilton is rolling over in his grave. I'm sorry we got here, but we are where we're here. We are where we are, and I'm going to vote to change the rules because I'm not going to be part of a Senate where Democrats get their judges and a Republican can never get theirs. That's not what it's all about.
I got to tell you, I'm just mind blown. I mean, at the end of it, to stand there with a straight face and say, oh, you know, they got theirs, but we didn't get ours. Just absolutely mind blowing. Oh. Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, therickssmithshow.com. So here to share some of the thoughts yesterday. What was that? Our good friend David Yankovich. David, thanks for taking time for us.
Always, Rick. Thanks for having me.
So what do you think? The Republicans evidently don't get their judges pushed through, yet I'm looking at the federal courts where there are hundreds of vacancies, and basically none of Obama's choices for the federal bench ever got through. And yet, Republicans don't get their judges. They don't get their judges, David.
It's mind-blowing. The level of hypocrisy that they do every single day, I don't think I can be shocked, and then they say stuff like that. And especially from Lindsey Graham, who is kind of coming out as somebody who's going against Trump on, you know, Russia and for the investigation. So it's a little bit confusing because on one hand, he's talking about let's investigate the president for treason, and then on the other hand, let's put a Supreme Court pick on the court for the next 40 years. So what that represents, I mean, if he gets on the court, is 40 years from now, he'll still be sitting there. He'll be a Trump person who was put on the court for a president that was impeached under treason.
Yeah, and that's an important thing because, look, there are lots of questions, you know, still banging around about the legitimacy of this president, and to normalize him by allowing this pick to go forward, to me, sends kind of the wrong message.
No, it absolutely sends the wrong message. This is, like I said, this is somebody who will represent the president for the next 40 years sitting there. And is that what we want to have this be a reminder of? You know, all the other stuff, what they did with Obama and the hypocrisy of that to the federal court picks to everything else, like, that all matters, too. And the Democrats absolutely have to fight this tooth and nail just because Republicans stole this seat. But even if it had been a legitimate seat under the Trump administration open, I would be saying the same thing. He's under investigation for treason. We can't put anybody on the court until we get this cleared up. We can't do anything, really, until we get this cleared up.
You know, I said a minute ago that this really a victory for the people and the fact that, you know, the Democrats actually found something of a spine. To be honest, I'm a little shocked that the Democrats have actually mustered enough votes to say no and force the Republicans to do what the Republicans were going to do anyway. You knew they were going to, you know, they're going to do the nuke option. You knew they would have done it last year if the shoe were on the other foot. But I'm saying, look, you know, this is the power of citizens who have forced this.
Yeah. Well, this is a win-win for us, no matter what. Even if he gets put on the court, it's still a win because the Democrats forced the Republicans to use political capital. They put up a fight till the very end, and they forced the showdown. That's all I've been asking for. Since yep. November, when we lost the election, was stand up and fight. I know we're not going to win all these fights, but if we don't show up, we're not going to win any of them. So I'm happy we're showing up. And I think that, you know, I mean, they'll use the nuclear option. They'll hurt themselves. It'll look really bad. They put someone on the court by basically, you know, destroying democracy, and that's on them. For Democrats, you know, this is a win-win situation.
And the question is, and I've had these conversations, you know, a little bit here recently, do they pay a political price for this? I mean, do the Republicans realize just how extreme the nuclear option is, which is why they call it the nuclear option, but do you think the base will get that?
I think that some levels will. The base is already starting to turn on Donald Trump. I mean, I'm seeing it every time I speak anywhere or if I talk to anybody. And I'm getting questions. Why is he still talking about Hillary? We thought that he'd be governing. You know, there's websites like Trump Regrets and things like that where you can actually read people's, you know, I voted for you, I can't believe you did this to us type thing. So, I mean, some people, I mean, there's not a lot of people who understand civics in this country anyway. But, you know, the level of what they're doing here, they might not understand it today or tomorrow, but they'll understand it when, you know, you have someone on the court who starts taking away workers' rights or, you know, women's rights or any of that. You know, Democrats, we already know what the stakes are. A lot of Republicans, you know, they like to talk tough, but when it actually comes down to doing what they need to do, they realize that this isn't for them. You know, literally, we have, like, Lord Voldemort in the White House.
No, I mean, look, I watched that little dog and pony show that the Republicans came out with, and, you know, the back slapping and the, you know, the big smiles, it just... It reminded me of, you know, one of those movie scenes where the criminals got away with the big heist and they're now celebrating and patting each other on the backs. It just reeked of that kind of a scenario to me.
That's what the whole Republican Party is now. That scenario that you just said, that is them. They just pulled off the heist of the century. They stole a presidential election. They're taking away everybody's rights everywhere. The level of, you know, corruption and hypocrisy, I mean, and they're backslapping. They're happy about it. But the country's changing. They're not realizing that people are waking up now. There's a big blue wave coming for 2018.
And that's where folks like you come in. I mean, at the end of the day, you look at the Democratic Party's bench and you go, not a lot of talent there. We need new, fresh blood. We need people. Well, we need working people to step forward.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of new, fresh blood that gets me really excited. There's a lot happening. Joe Biden, at the end of this month, he's actually going to be in New Hampshire, which everybody knows is like a nod and a wink to a presidential run. I mean, there's a lot of really cool stuff in the party that's going on right now, and there's a lot of people who are stepping up who are, I mean, heroes, amazing, and not just the politicians. I mean, you know, you have Scott here in a couple hours. I'm coming on the show. You know, one of my favorite people to read about. He's been investigating Trump since the election. I mean, there's really a lot of people who are just average people standing up and being like, nope, we're not dealing with this anymore. And they're fighting. It's exciting.
No, it is exciting. And it goes back to that civics class where we, you know, as President Obama reminded us out the door, citizen is the highest office, the highest position in the land. An active, engaged citizen. I think you're seeing that. I think we're seeing people finally, you know, let the undo the apathy and really step to the forefront.
I mean, it's been amazing. One thing that it keeps coming to my head about, you know, he said that we are the ones that we are waiting for. And, you know, a lot of times, like, when you're in the moment and you're on those campaigns, those are just work.
Right.
Like Hillary, stronger together. But when you really look at it from, you know, outside the campaign moment and it's not a canned line, like, I mean, the things that they were saying were actually very inspiring. And Obama, I mean, everything that Donald Trump does, he is lifting Obama's legacy. He can destroy everything Obama did in office, but nobody will ever forget how he made him feel. And, I mean, that's what we're fighting for. We're fighting for that America. We're not fighting for Donald Trump's America.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I look at what they're trying to do with the Affordable Care Act, and you go, look, was it perfect? Was Obamacare perfect? No, it's not.
That's a perfect example of it.
But the fix that the Republicans have put forth, not even popular with their base, which is, you know, you would think after 6 years of railing against something, you would have a really great, terrific plan. Not so much.
Well, that was one of those put up or shut up times, and we sat them down.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, they're not going to stop, and this is the thing. They never seem to run out of time or money or bad ideas. It's always, they're always hammering and always coming after any progress. And as I keep saying, you know, they're in the process of repealing the 20th century.
You know, it's like what Churchill said about, you know, good men doing nothing. You know, you have to constantly beat it back. You know, Republicans are never going to run out of bad ideas. They're never going to run out of things to screw regular workers. They're never going to stop. All we can do is stop them. And the Democrats right now, they're showing up to these battles. They're showing up to the fight. You know, we have, you know, Pennebaker in Wisconsin is, you know, doing the exact same thing, running for DNC. He's saying that we need to be in every race and every fight. We might not win them all, but we show up.
Yeah, but that's something we've talked about, you know, for a while, David. I mean, at the end of the day, and I've been saying it for years, What the working class of this country wants is someone who's going to stand up and fight for them. Not someone who's going to offer to hold their coat while they get beat up, but someone who's going to actually stand with them. And this is an opportunity. And I don't know what the Democrats are going to do yet, because I don't know what their message going forward is. They need to figure that out. But having this kind of a stand where they're going to say, we're filibustering Gorsuch. You go ahead, use the nuclear option. To me, is a good start.
It's definitely a good start. I'm proud of them. I mean, we have guys like Bill Pascrell in Congress who are trying to get Trump's tax returns. There's a lot of fights going on. But I agree with you. There's not one central message. It is basically, the Republicans are throwing everything they have at us. There's more corruption we've ever seen. So, I know from their side of it, it's got to be a little bit difficult, because what's one message when we have 75 fires to put out?
Right.
But they're starting to show up. And all I'm asking is that you show up and you fight. Like you said, I don't want you to hold my coat. Grab a beer bottle and break it.
Well, there is that. But here's the thing. Again, you come back to this. This administration, I think you didn't need to be clairvoyant to understand that this was going to be the most corrupt administration in history. And we've already seen more corruption and more scandal in just the first 70 days than we saw in 8 years under President Obama. Because I think we got a little lax. I think, things ran well. We were moving slowly forward. Things were getting progressively better. And now it's like everything seems on fire.
I'm really excited to see the 100-day autopsy when they go through Trump's first 100 days, because the first 3 weeks he spent talking about crowd sizes. So, he really hasn't gotten anything accomplished whatsoever. He signed a bunch of executive orders, but no bills have really passed that are groundbreaking, that are going to help his legacy or do anything like that. Like, there's nothing that has gone through that is going to merit him any type of, support. Going into 2018 and everything, I can't imagine what their philosophy is with what they're doing, unless they just don't think elections are going to happen in 2018, and that's why they're doing all this, because everybody's mad.
Yeah, but we're suspending elections because we're going to lose.
At this point, it wouldn't surprise me, because they are going to lose.
And, the hope is, and this is what I talked about yesterday with Propane Jane, this, at some point, do we not get battle fatigue? I mean, every day it's like drinking from the fire hose. Every day it's like being beat with sticks. Can you keep this kind of a pace? Can we continue to be outraged every day for the next 2 or 4 years?
I will tell people this till I am blue in the face. We have to. It's life or death. We are literally in a fight to the death here. So you can't get tired. You have to keep fighting. They did this for 40 years. They didn't come up in, July of 2015 to have a great idea. They've been working on gerrymandering districts and taking away rights and winning elections for 30 or 40 years now. So we don't have time. We have to step up. We have to fight. And I got to tell you, I spoke at a Young Democrats meeting last night, a bunch of college kids and high school kids, and they were fired up. They were more fired up than we're fired up. So the future is looking pretty good.
Yeah, I've seen that in numerous places where, you've got college professors saying, I've never seen campuses I've never seen our campus with this kind of energy, because college students are mostly about, drinking beer and, doing what college students do. Unless you're Paul Ryan and you're dreaming about stealing Medicaid away from people and kicking granny off of Medicare. But, twisted little Eddie Munster, a lot of the reports I'm seeing, the exact thing that you're saying, that people are engaged, they're active, and they're angry.
And they're reaching for understanding. They want to understand how Senate rules take place and the way that, confirmations on the Supreme Court work, what the nuclear option means. It's really cool. People are really engaged into this. And these college kids and high school kids, they're on a different level. It was like I had, 300 Kool-Aid men last night about to run through walls. It's something to see. It really is.
And it's what we're going to need if we're going to save this country. Because, look, and I don't think it's overstating to say just how dangerous of a situation we are in this country. We've got a guy in the White House who I think most people would look at and say, at the minimum, is unstable, unpredictable, irrational at times. And as the screws tighten, the concern for me is, what does this guy get us into? How many lives are lost because of bad policy, bad ideology, or just trying to get out of one investigation or another?
Well, China's coming to the White House this week. And this is a moment where things could get really hairy really fast. The first thing they said when he became president was, at this moment now, war could break out anytime between the United States and China. Steve Bannon said that we'll be at war in China by the end of the year. So with, you know, China coming to the White House to talk about trade, Trump's already on Twitter talking about his policy positions on it, which is scary as heck. But, you know, this is what you're talking about. This is one of those moments. Is he just going to completely lose it and get us into a shooting war? Or, you know, and another thing, too, he said that, you know, we're going to go around China about North Korea. They're not going to just let us go around it. But they share a border with them. Everything that we do in North Korea impacts China. So for better or for worse, they're going to be our partner in the next coming century, or they're going to be our enemy, or, you know, our enemy. But, you know, Trump could get us into something really bad this week. So I'm really paying attention to that, too.
Yeah, well, the Chinese president isn't coming to Washington, is he? I thought he was going to the quote-unquote Southern White House.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a Southern White House.
Yeah, there is. It's actually, I think it's in Birmingham, Alabama. It was the Confederate White House, which, again, I couldn't figure out why, if you're going to secede from the country and you're going to commit treason, you would call your capital house the White House.
I thought you meant Mar-a-Lago. I'm like, no, we're not going there.
We already got one, but he keeps saying that, you know, this is the Southern White House, and you and I are footing the bill for it.
Every day, $3 million a weekend every time he goes there.
Yeah, what happened to that? I'm going to work all the time. I'm never leaving D.C. I'm never going to golf. I'm never doing any of that stuff. And yet, what is it? 10 out of the 10 weekends that he's gone golfing?
He's 14 for 15 now or something. It's basically every weekend he's been in the White House, he's went to one of his golf courses.
Well, you know, he needs his therapy. So last line of questioning I've got for you then, you know, in looking at where we are now, because I've been saying now the fight is at the Republicans. Because are there three Republicans that are going to say, no, we believe in the rule of law, no, we're not going to allow the Senate to become the House or become crazy? Do you see that happening, or is the nuke option inevitable?
I think the nuke option is going to be inevitable. I don't have as much faith in Republicans as, you know, maybe I should or I used to. I think that, you know, we're forcing their hand, and we're going to force them to use it, but I don't see three coming across the aisle. It would really surprise me if they did, because they've all kind of drank the Trump Kool-Aid at this point, and, you know, they're ignoring everything else. Why would they ignore or, you know, pay attention to this one?
Yeah, and I got to imagine that the moneyed interest, the corporate interests, because Gorsuch, after all, is a corporate guy. I got to imagine that they really want him.
I mean, they're dropping money into this. I mean, what is it, $30 million? They said that they can't figure out where the money came from the other day.
Yeah. No, because look, as soon as Sessions and the rest of them had their little dog and pony show, CNN was just bombing me with pro-Gorsuch ads. And I'm going, you know, all so soon? And, you know, because you go, wow, good coordination.
How bad does this look that the Attorney General of the United States committed perjury twice and they're putting someone on the Supreme Court? Like, it's almost as if, it's not almost as if it is this. If the Republican Party doesn't believe in law anymore, they don't believe in anti-corruption or ethics, I mean, that's dead to them. That's gone, obviously.
Well, they believe in law for you and me,
yeah,
just not them.
Not for themselves.
For the little people, you know, the law is for you, just like they believe in capitalism for us, but socialism for them.
Yeah. Oh, they, you know, they got the best health care. They got the best of everything. And that's the thing that really kills you. It's just, like I said, the level of hypocrisy that comes out of them. The country's turning.
Scary and crazy times, but the reality is, you're right. The country is turning, and I'm encouraged by what I saw yesterday out of the Democrats, and I'm encouraged every day by talking to folks like you, and I appreciate the time, David.
Oh, always, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Look forward to talking to you again next week. Quick break, 1-888-520-RICK, 1-888-520-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come the talk.